Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to another Kings of Anglia podcast special, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, an Ipswich Town women's midfielder, Charlotte Fleming. Charlotte, thanks so much for joining me. How's things?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm all good, thank you. Excited to be here.
Always fun. It's great to have you on. It's appreciating your time. And we're going to discuss your career as a whole. Obviously, a new signing this summer. I always like to start these podcasts in the early days of your football and how you got into football. Obviously, women's football is changing every year. But let's take back to a young Charlotte Fleming. Who got you into football?
I would probably have to give credit to my brother and my dad. I think he's older, so when I was little, I spent most of my weekends on the football pitch watching him. And obviously, you've got footballs all over the place. So I think I just started kicking it with my dad from an early age. And I just think I found almost this instant interest with it. Obviously, at the time, there wasn't many girls' teams out there and available. But we managed to get me into one of my local grassroots, Whittle, just down the road in Essex. And I kind of just stayed there. And that's probably was my first opportunity of women's football. Around, you know, 5-6 years of age.
Yeah, I'm sure you're now seeing at every game, you've got so many young girls, you know, kind of watch, and obviously there's so much big opportunity for them, but obviously, yeah, for yourself when you're coming through, not as much. But in terms of your position, you're obviously a midfielder now, but did you play everywhere, you know, even stick yourself in goal at one point?
Yeah, I actually think at one point I was in goal. I think when you're little, you just kind of go everywhere. I don't really think there's like set positions. And do you know what? I actually think that's really good because it allows you to see what every position like installs you to do and what is required in those positions. And I think gradually as you get older, you kind of find your feet and you find out where you really are best at playing. And for me, that was the midfield.
And then obviously, you start your career at Chelsea, I think was it 10 years old? So very early. Did you have to move to London or did you just travel from Essex?
Yeah, no, I just travelled. Bless my poor mum. I think she was travelling from Chelmsford to Cobham about 3-4 times a week. So from like the age of 10, and I was lucky enough to get offered a pro for Chelsea at the age of 18. I was there till I was 19, so I was at Chelsea for about, you know, 9-10 years. So it was a crucial part of my football career and my development, and kind of takes a lot of credit for the player that I am today. So yeah, I've got nothing but love and respect for Chelsea and what they've done for me.
That's good. I think you made your debut at 17, if I'm right, against Lewis in the League Cup.
Yeah, I did.
Did you get a medal? Because I think you won the League Cup that year, Chelsea.
Yeah, I think we won the League Cup. We obviously won the Conti Cup as well. So I managed to pick up a few things at that age for Chelsea, which is always like, it's just an honour, isn't it, at such a young age to be a part of those competitions and to go and win it. It just allows you to experience things that, you know, a lot of girls want to experience within their football career and their lifetime, and to do it at such an early age is something I'll always cherish.
And of course, yeah, there's some big players there at Chelsea. You know, can you name drop some players who sort of helped you in those early days?
I would say like the likes of like Sam Kerr, Millie Bright. They really took me under their wing when I was a young player at Chelsea, and they really allowed me to feel part of the group. It's always difficult going into a first team when the age gap is so big. And I think in the likes of the top teams like the Arsenals, you know, the Man Cities, the Chelseas, they are more experienced, older players as such. So when you're a youngster coming in that, it's not really like you have many people your age or people that you can talk to or go and meet outside of football. So it's actually really difficult, as well as trying to play into the level that and match their level. But no, the credit where credit's due, all the girls at Chelsea were lovely. Emma was lovely. So yeah, I can't fault them.
Yeah, let's talk about Emma briefly because, she just won the Ballon d'Or for Women's Coach of the Year. I think that's the first ever time they're given one to a women's coach, which is fantastic. But yeah, Emma obviously done an amazing job at Chelsea, of course, now, you know, coaching in America or for the US team. But yeah, Emma, as a person, you know, you're up close and personal with her.
Yeah, no. To be fair, what you see is what you get with her, which is something I really like as a player. What a coach to give, you know, if you've had a good game, she will tell you. If you've had a bad game, she will also tell you. She can be quite brutal and quite harsh, but I do believe that's why she's one of the best coaches in the world, because she has that mentality. She has that, you know, harsh barrier of what is good enough and what is unacceptable. And I think when you're thrown into that environment, you know, it just makes you as a player want to be better, want to learn more. As a team, you want to go and get the win that you might not be on paper to win. And I just think the culture and environment she creates is why she is so successful.
Yeah, very much so. And yeah, great character in the game as well. You mentioned, obviously, you signed your first pro deal. I was reading, you were studying, of course, at the time before you went full time. What were you studying at the time? And have you used any of that since?
Doing my A-levels. So I was studying psychology, PE, and then geography when I got my deal. And I was debating whether to go to uni or not. But for me, the priority was taking that pro contract at Chelsea and then potentially doing a uni degree online alongside that. And then as we'll get into it, I kind of fell into this injury, which took priorities. So I've kind of just put education on the side just for a little bit. I am looking to go down that avenue and just open up it and explore it a little bit more. But for now, I'm just primarily focusing on the football aspects of things.
Of course. And I've got a little stat here. Obviously made a brief appearance at Wembley in the Community Shield win against Man City. That must have been a great experience going at Wembley. I know it was a little cameo, but still can say, yeah, I played at Wembley.
No, like I said before, like, I think being open to all these experiences within a football career is amazing. But I think being at such a young age and being able to say, I was a part of that and I played at Wembley and, you know, I played at Stamford Bridge and all these things, like, at such a young age, you kind of take it for granted in a really weird way because you're so young. I don't think you acknowledge what you are achieving or what you are doing because you are so young. I mean, you're worried about going to school the next day on Monday morning and you're tired. I don't think it's until you're my age now or a little bit older where you sit back and realise and think, do you know what? Like, credit where credit's due. Like, I've done all right so far, you know? And like, you get everyone going, I'm so proud of you. But you just think your family are proud in general, don't they? They're always going to be proud of you, whether you're playing Sunday League, whether you're playing in Wembley, whether you're playing in Champions League, like the ones around you are always proud. So I think as an individual and as a player, it takes a lot for you to just sit back and acknowledge what you've done and kind of have self-appreciation for that. And I think over the years, I think I've got that more.
Yeah. And obviously you go on to join Leicester. So that was the first time moving away from home and obviously maybe going into a digs, or did you move in with maybe a player or two?
Yeah. So I actually moved out. So when I signed for Chelsea, I'm actually moved out of house at 18. So I was living in Cobham at 18, so I kind of was on my own there. And then obviously I moved to Leicester, which was a difficult experience. It was in like the heights of COVID. So moving to a brand new place, brand new location, don't know the girls, don't know the area, and I can't even go anywhere because it's COVID. So I'm kind of just trapped in this house by yourself. I was actually sharing with a teammate at the time. So obviously got to know her quite well, but yeah, it was really difficult. And obviously Leicester were off to win the championship, or in which we did do. So, it was, for me, that was probably the year where I learned most about myself, within the game, on the pitch and off the pitch. I had a lot of time to myself, you know, back at home when you weren't allowed to go out, and I kind of found who I was as a person and as an individual more than I could say probably ever in my life. So there was pros and cons to it, but actually I look at the pros more so.
Yeah. Do you feel that was the right time for you to maybe move on for Chelsea and, you know, play regularly and obviously drop them down to the championship, but still a good level?
Yeah, I had the conversation with Emma. obviously I was only 19. I'd been at Chelsea for a long time, and you know, they were bringing all these international players like Peniel Harder over and things like that, and the game's just getting better and better. And you know, me and Emma had an honest conversation, and she said, look, like, you're doing very well in training, but you know, like, your age is, I need you to have more experience. So she wanted me to go out and get game time, and it was a mutual decision that actually, do you know what, I'd probably done everything I could within the training sessions and reached a potential that was going to reach my maximum within training. I needed to go and play. I needed to go and get game time. And that's why mutually we decided it would be best for me to go off and explore other options.
As you said, yeah, winning the championship, so that's not a bad start, you know, at your new club. I know it was, as you said, the height of COVID, but, you know, you played a few times in the championship and that must have just been a great experience over doors.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's a difficult one. You're always going into a new club. You want to play. They're obviously in a very good run-in, so they're not really going to switch up the team as maybe much as they probably said they would. So it's always difficult. Football's a really difficult game. You're either in the coach's favour and you're not in the coach's favour. And for most of it, if I'm being honest, I wasn't in the coach's favour. Didn't really see eye to eye with the manager. And that's okay, that's all right. But I think it just made my time being away from home a lot harder. I think I actually walked away from that season, despite winning the championship, feeling quite low. Self-esteem was quite low, not feeling very confident, almost not really wanting to play football anymore. And like, the only reason I'm saying that is because, like, for those who are watching, it's okay to feel like that. Like, you're going to get seasons where, you know, you're not in the favour of the coach, or you're not getting picked, or you're sitting on the bench, and actually it's okay, like, that happens. But it's like how mentally you find yourself to go, do you know what, I'm going to go again, I'm going to bounce back. Like, no one's season, no one's career is perfect. It's not all, you know, sunshine and rainbows. Like, unfortunately, there is a grey area of football, and it's the hardest area to deal with, but when you know you can deal with it, you can then deal with anything. So yeah, so for me, a lot of learning at Leicester, and it's probably half the person I am today, and the mentality that I have today is probably down to experience in those lows in my career.
Yeah, I can imagine. And obviously, go back to London. Did you always feel like it was, you know, going to be the place to go back to? Obviously, London City Lionesses up next, but did you feel like that was just a place where your base was, and you just felt that was where you're comfortable and, you know, get your football back?
Yeah, I think they had reached out to me before going to Leicester, so they came in for me. I decided to go to Leicester over them because they were almost going to win the championship and go to the WSL. So, you know, tactically, that's why I picked Leicester. But yeah, they came back in for me. I believe I still had another year, potentially, or 6 months of my contract to Leicester, and I was just in a position where I just wanted to move away from that and just get myself in a better bubble. So yeah, went to London City, and you know, I fell in love with the game again. Just as soon as I got there, the environment, the girls, like, some of the girls are still like my best mates now. It was just exactly what I needed in the right time of my life. And I can't fault London City. I can't fault the coaches. I can't fault the staff. Obviously, there was a lot of hearsay going on about the environment and the troubles and the money and the financial things. But as a player, being in that club for the 2 years that I was there, I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, because yeah, you're playing regular minutes in the championship, and you scored your first senior goal, if I'm right, against Palace. I think that was a big win as well.
Yeah, I believe it was like a 5-1 win. It was a kind of a must-win game for us, and Palace were a big rival at the time. So yeah, to obviously get a goal is always nice as a more defensive player. So no, City will always kind of like be a special club to me, and it'll always be a club that I hope does well in the future. And yeah.
And that's where, obviously, you meet Rachel as well, who's obviously at the club now. Is she basically what she is like right now? You know, she's such a motherly figure around the place.
Yeah, no, Rachel's great. Can't fault her. Like, she's there whenever you need her, whatever time of day or night. You know, she'll pick up the phone to you. And whether it's about football, it's about, you know, personal life, you can go to her with anything. And I think having that relationship with Rachel at London City, it allowed my move to Ipswich to be really smooth and be really helpful, you know, knowing familiar faces. So for me, a bit like City, it was the right move for me in my career to move to Ipswich and to be a part of what they're now building and growing.
And going to talk about maybe a sore subject for you, but I'm sure you know you're somewhat over it now because you're playing week in, week out. But your injury, obviously I think that was in your second season, an ACL injury, which is so common in women's football. I've spoken to many players in the squad who have suffered that. You know, Sophie Pescett is the key one. I think you also suffered two other injuries, part of that as well, and, you know, having to go through surgery. Yeah, talk us through that. I'm sure, you know, a journey of rehab, recovery and everything.
Yeah, no, so it was, I believe it was like the second game of the new season, was playing Cholton. I think we were winning about 3-0 in the 94th minute, which always makes it worse. There was only 93 minutes added time, so the game should have really been over anyway. I basically got past a girl and unfortunately she's just tackled me quite badly, gone down to the ground, basically ended up completely rupturing my ACL. I did a grade 3 MCL and my meniscus and my cartilage was gone, pretty much. They said it was something about 75%. So yeah, it was a very big injury. Due to also doing my MCL, I had to go into rehab for 8 weeks before I could even get ACL surgery. So, you know, you're building up part of your knee to almost go and have surgery and kind of lose the process you've already gained on it. So, you know, that's hard. But yeah, after 8 weeks, I went into surgery, got my knee surgery done. And then I had a bit of complications because after surgery, obviously you get a lot of pain, but I ended up having a blood clot. So I had that in the calf, which then postponed my rehab for like another 3 weeks because I needed to sort that out and deal with that. So to be honest, like my ACL journey, it took me about 13 months to get back on the pitch, which for someone who that's your job, that's what you do every single day, is taken away from you for 13 months. You know, you have to, like I've said before in this call, you have to really find who you are as an individual, because don't get me wrong, you have dark days. You know, there's days you wake up in bed and you're thinking, why me? Why did you do that to me? Like, why was I the player that's now out for 13 months? Or, you know, you've got to find that motivation. Okay, I need to go to the gym today. I need to do my rehab, or I need to do the stretches that I've been told to do. But do you know what? I'm upset. I don't want to do them. But actually, I have to do them, because if I don't do them, I won't be back on the pitch. And I think you've just got to find this inner fire and this inner belief that, okay, this is just a bump in my journey. This is just a little hurdle that I've got to overcome. And my family, my friends, you know, they were by my side every single day. They saw the ups, the downs, the laughs, the smiles, the cries. And I wouldn't have been able to get through the process without them, truly and honestly. But, you know, I'm kind of grateful it happened, because it made me realise how much I want to play football, how much I love the game, how much I missed it. I missed being out on the pitch, and the want and hunger and the desire that I had before was probably 10 times stronger, because I knew what it felt like to not have that. And then to finally get it back 13 months later, the feeling was amazing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, obviously you go and sign for Watford and that comeback, that game, you know, just to build up to it. Because back in your mind, you're like, you know, I could make an appearance here. Yeah, what was that like, you know, crossing that white line and getting onto that pitch?
Yeah, I think I'd done the hard work. You know, I'd graft every single day for 13 months. You know, and it takes a lot for someone to do that. And I think I just owned, you know, I owned the responsibility and I owned the opportunity of, do you know what, this is my moment, but I deserve that moment. You know, like all of these, you know, girls clapping me onto the pitch and stuff, obviously it's very overwhelming and things like that, but I owned that. I deserved that moment because, you know, I'd worked so hard. You know, everyone just sees, you know, might turn up to training, do a couple of like rehab bits, go home, but it's not that. I go home, I have to ice my leg, I then have to do more rehab stuff, I have to get up early, I have to go sports massages, I have to do this, I have to do that. So I think once you've lived it and you've experienced it, which I hope no one else does, it makes you appreciate the little moments you get in a game. So whether that's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you know, you might be on the bench, you might be sulking, or you might be upset because you've not had that opportunity or you've not started. But for me, I might be sitting on a bench, but if I get 5 minutes, I'm buzzing. you know, because I've had 13 months of football not playing. So it's about not taking anything for granted. It's the little things that we probably don't appreciate as much as we should appreciate. And then when you have a big injury, it makes you rethink everything. And I think your mindset just changes completely.
Yeah, just the day-to-day being part of the training sessions as well, because I know that's the thing. It can be a lonely place, you know, rehab. I know people around you supporting you, but in terms of just in the gym, sometimes by yourself, just that can be a lonely place.
Such a lonely place. Like, I remember when I did it at City, our gym was actually in a different building. We were at a David Lloyd to the girls. So I would train 3 times a week, but I would not see the girls in any of that period of time. You know, the only time I'd see them would be on a Sunday, even though we're probably 5 metres away from each other. Like, it was literally me and my rehab coach for 13 months, you know. Even in the summer when everyone's going on holiday, I was coming towards the end. So I was still going in. I was still doing pitch running. So I didn't even really have much time off, you know, in that space of time. So it is so lonely, but you've just got to find things that can fill that void. So for me, just like a little funny thing, like, I love colouring. So like when I couldn't go out and do things or be a part of things, like, I'd go home and I'd colour because I find it satisfying. I find it therapeutic. And, you know, I could colour for hours. I'd stick a film on and colour and, you know, the day was then gone. And it felt, oh, like I hadn't missed out, or I wasn't lonely, or I wasn't by myself. So for me, like, trying to fill the void of that loneliness is so important, because if you don't, I feel like you could get into quite a dark place. And actually, it's all about happiness. It's all about, you know, how you feel within yourself. And whether that's baking, whether that's going for a walk or colouring or doing a puzzle, like, I think it's so important to try and have something other than football in your life, because if you can't have that and that gets taken away, people feel like they're lost. But actually, we're not who we are because of football. We are who we are, and we love football. You know, like, there's more to us than just football. And I think that's what I came to the conclusion of, is, like, I'm Charlotte, yes, I play football, but I also have these other things that I like and I want to do. Like, football's not my life. And then because of that injury, that's how I realised that. And that's when I started to do all the other little things that I like doing that maybe I haven't done for a while, because, you know, you're so fixated on playing at the weekend or being in the starting 11 or going to training and having an amazing week, you know. So you just learn about your character and your individual self, like, to another level. I can't explain it.
Yeah. Obviously, I've never been in that boat, but I know so many people who could be watching this could be going through an ACL injury now. So hopefully that's inspired them. And do some colouring. I think that's my takeaway right there from you, Charlotte. There, do some colouring if you you know, you're in that lonely place. You want to just brighten up your day. Do some colouring. That's a great thing. And obviously, the end goal was obviously to get back on the pitch, and that's what's happened. Obviously, you signed for Ipswich Town this summer. How did the move come about? Obviously, you knew Rachel. Obviously, you've come up against Joe's academy teams in the past. I know Chelsea and Ipswich Town played in the Under-21s League. I went through those games back in the day, and they're always good battles. But yeah, I'm sure that was that connection with Joe.
Yeah, no, like, I've known Rachel, but I've known of Joe and kind of known Joe for years. Obviously, being at Chelsea, we played Ipswich, Colchester, repeated amount of times over the years. So I've actually probably known Joe since I was about 12. Just seeing him obviously at the games, manager, things like that. And I actually knew quite a lot of the girls at Ipswich, because back in the day when they were at Colchester, I actually trialled for Colchester. So the likes of EK, those sort of girls, I was a part of. Obviously then going through to the England camps, like with Boz being there, Peskett, Eloise, you know, I was friends with them at England. So for me, Ipswich had such an appeal to me as an individual, because I knew the manager, I knew like the general manager, I knew the girls there. And I wanted to go into an environment where I would feel a part of it, that I'd feel valued and respected. And for me, Ipswich ticked all those boxes.
Yeah, very much so. And obviously, it's been an ambitious summer in terms of signings, you know, bringing players from the league above. You obviously had to captain the team in the opening few games because Boz was injured. So I'm sure that was a, you know, moment to be proud of. I know you captained Chelsea at maybe youth level and maybe other teams. But yeah, captain Ipswich Town in those opening games. Can you remember when Joe came in and said, well, Boz is injured, and you're my skip for this few games.
Yeah, well, funny story. Like it was the first game of the season was Oxford away, and I think we pulled up to like South Mimms services, and we all got off to like get a coffee, and literally I was walking back onto the coach, and I think Joe, just being Joe, just tapped me and was like, "You're going to be captain today." Like, and then I was like, "Okay," and he's like, "All right," and then just got back on the coach. Like, something, you know, not a big deal, because like it, for me, and I think for him as well, like it wasn't something that needed to be made a big deal. Obviously, like Boz was injured, and I think Kyra was injured because Kyra was the vice captain. So it then fell to me, which is obviously a great honour. And I wore the captain's armband with a huge amount of pride, walking out the girls. It's a great feeling. But I think, you know, in the scheme of things, we needed to go there and win the league. They'd win the league, win the game. They'd never beaten Oxford away. So I think that was almost the main priority. Whether I was captain or someone else was captain, it wasn't really a big deal. You know, we needed to go there. We needed to get the 3 points, and I think that was what we wanted in the end. You know, so of course it was a great honour to wear that captain's armband, and you know, I would of course love to do it again, but we needed to go and win that game, and I think that just overshadowed who was going to be captain anyway. If that makes sense.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, what a performance that was. I've had Angela on last month, and we spoke about the opening games and stuff like that. But that must have been good for you, though, in terms of those opening games winning, and obviously winning at Carrow Road, you know, the 4-0 win against Norwich. And obviously, I don't know if you know this stat, you've probably been told this, but you're the first Town captain since 2006 to win at Carrow Road in terms of the club as a whole. But that must have been another proud moment, you know, walking out, you know, a big stadium like Carrow Road. And in the derby, and obviously that crowd, you know, you walked right in front of that crowd right there. It was a great crowd go and watching that game.
No, yeah, of course. Like, obviously, to play for Ipswich and to walk out in any game is an amazing feeling, you know, and it's a great honour, and it's stuff that we want to do week in, week out. But I think, obviously, the big Norwich game, obviously, rivals, the almost atmosphere that is created. I remember we were on the team coach going through Norwich, and you've got people like booing at us, got like little kids waving their middle fingers at us. Like, and I don't think you realise, like, oh my god, like, this is, for someone who like obviously hasn't been a part of Ipswich for very long, like, you didn't think it would be that much of like a big thing, you know. And I think getting there and realising, oh god, like, these two teams hate each other, like, it just, for me as a player, like, I kind of thrive off that, and I kind of think, okay, like, you know, you get into like the atmosphere and you get into the environment. But no, it was a great game, pretty tough game actually to begin with. I think we actually went in half time at 0-0, I believe. They kind of sat off us, but no, obviously we made a few changes, and Tash and Pess came onto the pitch and delivered what they're best at, and ended the game with a win. And no, I think it was a great night for the team, great night for Joe, but great night for Ipswich as a whole. And I think it really set our season off in the right direction after that game.
Yeah, it did. And obviously, I want to mention your first two goals for the club, away, a long way to Plymouth, down in Devon. But yeah, 5-1 win at Home Park as well. And yeah, to get your first two goals at the club, I'm sure you're happy about those.
Yeah, of course. I think for me personally, as an individual, I've been trying to work on that aspect of my game a lot more. You know, like, I would say I'm good at the defending aspect and, you know, being that unit. But I've really been trying to focus on the more attacking side and trying to be a bit more of a versatile number four. So for me to get myself into those positions and to score and for it to pay off is rewarding. And, you know, it gives you that confidence to be able to say, do you know what, I can do both. Like, I'm not just a defensive player. Like, I do have the ability to get higher up the pitch and create chances and score goals for the town. So, no, it was... Obviously, it was a tough game, was likewise. So we needed to come out of that second half and score. And for me to then break that tie and go 2-1 up, like, yeah, I loved it. And then obviously to get the final one of the day, yeah, I can't complain. It's always a great feeling to score and to do that for your team and to give help to your team to make the win. So, no, it's a game I'll always remember, and not bad goals either.
Definitely. And obviously in the pink kit as well. I think that's the first time the club have you know, worn that, because obviously the men haven't worn it yet. But yeah, that really stands out as well when you're playing against Plymouth. It really stands out. What's your favourite out of the three?
I think blue is very classic, although that pink kit, all the girls loved it. Like, I think we're trying to wear it more. But I would say this year, all three kits are lovely. Like, even that the burgundy one, we wore that against Billericay. I think that I'm a West Ham fan, you see, so that little bit West Ham. So, no, I think, to be fair, all of them are lovely. But, it's difficult. I probably would have to say the pink.
Yeah, and yeah, just looked great in the pitches at Plymouth as well. And obviously, yes, your first two goals of the club was in that kit as well. So a nice lucky charm for you. And obviously, the last two games have been interesting ones. Obviously, double figures in both games against MK. But there's just been relentless performances from you girls. Obviously, at the end of the day, you're going to come up against a team who, yeah, they're struggling. Obviously, it's a very young team at MK. But you're going to play what's in front of you, aren't you? And obviously, the league game, the FA Cup game. What's that like as a player going into those games and, you know, scoring that many goals?
There's two sides to it, because at the end of the day, like, you know, some teams might be like, oh, I feel guilty that we've knocked in seven goals before half time, you know, or shall we go out there and, or shall we change the team, or shall we, I don't know, do you know what I mean? But actually, the other side is you have to be brutal. You have to be ruthless, and no matter what opponent is faced in front of you, you should perform at the level that you're performing at. Why should you drop your level because a team is maybe weaker than another? Because, you know, if we don't perform against teams like that, then how are we expected to go and play against harder teams in our league at the same level? I think it's just a mindset thing, in the sense of, yeah, we have knocked seven past you, but unfortunately we are going to knock another seven past you, because we're ruthless, we're determined, we have this mentality that we're going to show everyone what we can do, and we're not just going to stop because we feel sorry for a team or, you know, we feel bad. Actually, this is about us at the end of the day. It's not about MK Dons, it's not about Lewis, it's not about Oxford, it's about Ipswich, and it's about what we represent and what we identify as. And we want others looking in that thinking, God, yeah, they don't stop. They scored 25 goals in two games. Like, okay, you know, and we want that. We don't want people thinking, oh, you know, they played MK and they put in their 21 reserves because they couldn't be bothered. Like, we don't want that tied to us. So I think, look, it's always difficult, and fair play to MK. They worked for the full 90 minutes. They never once gave up, never once thought, oh, I'm not going to try. They kept trying to build out from the back. They tried to play. So credit where credit's due is fair play to them, you know. They knew they were losing, but they didn't change their style either. And I like to see that as well from other teams, that they don't just change because of who they're facing, or their identity doesn't go because, you know, they're getting beaten 10-0. So, yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And obviously, yeah, the 13-0 was a key one in terms of goal difference, because it was a few years back that obviously the team missed out on the league title against Watford. I don't think you were at Watford at the time when they obviously beat us to the title. But yeah, that was frustrating, because, yeah, to miss out on the title on goal difference. But yeah, this time around, we've been scoring goals for fun. I think it's 36 goals in the league, unbeaten league start. How do you look back at the season as a whole, Charlotte, as a team, as an individual as well?
Yeah, I think on that goal difference, I think that was also another thing. Like, obviously, Joe came into the room at half-time when we beat them 13-0, and I believe it was about 6 or 7-0. And he was like, almost like, look around. Like, we'd lost out on what we're trying to go for because of that. And how annoyed would we be at ourselves if we felt sorry for them, we stepped back a bit, we played some football and wasn't clinical, and actually it came to the end of the season and we were two goals off it. And actually there's two goals we could have scored in that game. So I think some of the girls, having been through that experience and losing out because of goal difference, they're not prepared. They're not prepared to do it again. But as a whole, I think, touch wood, we've had a great start. We've had a really good start to the season, and I think we are only just getting better and better. I think this is just where we're at, but I think we can be here. We've got a lot of learning to do. We've got a lot of growing to do as individuals, as units, as a team. But I believe in every single one of those girls on that pitch. I believe in every single staff member at the club. I believe in the help and the support that we get from outsiders, from the fans. And actually, you know, I do think it's the year that Ipswich can win it. And I say that fully confident. I'm not afraid to say that, because actually we work hard, we train hard, we prepare hard. You know, we are so ready when it comes to any Sunday to play against our opposition, beat them, get the 3 points and prepare them for the next week. And I think the preparation and just the little things compared to last year, I've been told, it is just so much better. And it's almost like being taken so much more seriously. And so I think our full belief that we can do it. I think everyone else is believing that as well. And I think when you have a togetherness as strong as the girls and the staff as Ipswich, there's no reason why you can't achieve it.
Yeah, I think the fans are believing as well. Obviously, it's been some great, you know, crowds down at Felixstowe. What's that been like playing down at the Felixstowe ground and seeing, you know, so many great fans coming down, you know, young girls, young boys, just families, just everyone, you know, wanting to see this team play well. And obviously, they're getting entertained.
Yeah. Honestly, I would say that like the fans at Ipswich is probably the most fans like that a team I've played at, except from like Chelsea, has received within a league, in the Tier 3 league. And actually, I was pretty amazed and pretty shocked at how many fans they get to the games. But it's amazing. And I think the fans are amazing. The people who come and support are amazing. And they don't understand how much it means to us players, you know, walking out and having a crowd at Felixstowe. It just gives you this little buzz inside you. Like, these people are here to watch you. They come here to watch you play. And you almost not only want to play well for yourself, you don't always want to play like well for your family, but you want to play well for them. You want to make their time and come in and their travel and to come watch you play worth it. And I think, you know, when we've like, you know, drawing a game or losing a game, like, that's what we think about. We think the fans are here to watch us. Like, we need to give them what we deserve, but also what they deserve. So, yeah, the fans are incredible. Can't fault them one bit. They're always there. They're chanting, they're supporting, they're playing the drums, they're cheering. I just think it's a lovely atmosphere. It's a lovely, like, family atmosphere. Young girls coming along with their family. You've obviously got, like, the original fans who are there every single game. You get the new ones that come and go. But, no, I love the club. I love the fans. And, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it must be a great moment as well when you see all them lining up, you know, wanting a Charlotte Fleming signature. Obviously, they want all the other players, but as you're on here. But that must be a nice moment, you know, to sign. Have you got your signature, all, you know, all sorted now?
Yeah, I think I've got it on lock. By the time I get to like 21, it goes a bit, but they'll never know. So it's all right.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's been great to have you on. Any other business? I want to give a shout out to Natasha Thomas because she's obviously smashing all the records, becoming an all-time appearance maker at the club, also becoming the first senior international playing for Jamaica against France. I want to also mention, Charlotte, you know, you playing for England at youth level as well. I'm sure that was you know, an honour. Did you keep a shirt or anything like that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, kept the shirt. Obviously played for England throughout the age groups and went to the Euros and experienced another big competition like that. But enough about me. Yeah, Tash is killing it. She's smashing it and I'm so happy for her. I'm so proud of her. She deserves it. And the girl works hard. She works incredibly hard. And, you know, she's had her ups and downs. And she's someone who can get in her head a lot. And I just think this past month has done the world of good. I think that self-belief within her has increased massively. And she knows that she's valued and she has a purpose. And us girls, we love her. We love her to bits, both on and off the pitch. She's, you know, the sweetest person. You can go, you can speak to her to anything. Me and Tash have quite a good rapport with each other. We have that like jokey side and we have that quite serious side where we can have a chat. So Tash is kind of seen as like the motherly figure in the team. Obviously we've got quite a young squad and sorry, Tash is one of the older ones. But no, like the girls know they can go to Tash to anything and she'll look after us. And it's just nice as players to see her getting the credit that she hasn't always received or she hasn't always got. She works incredibly hard. And, you know, for strikers, it's hard, isn't it? Because if you don't score in a game, people are looking at you to say, oh, why haven't you scored? So I think especially at the weekend, scoring 5, it should just give her confidence that, you know, she can score, she can deliver when we need her to. And I hope she comes off this weekend feeling really happy with herself because she should be.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, what a player, because yeah, she's been here for so long, you know, longest serving player, been part of this journey from, you know, team in fourth tier, who now, you know, on the brink of potentially going to the championship. So yeah, she deserves it, and yeah, breaking all those records is fantastic. But yeah, Charlotte, it's been a pleasure. Any other business? Any other things we should talk about? I want to quickly just ask your sort of advice for the young girls, maybe young boys also listening to this podcast, who are getting into their football, maybe playing for a local team, playing for an academy, whatever their level they're playing at. But yeah, any advice for them?
I would just say enjoy every moment, every second of it. I think there's so much pressure being tied to football, whether that's women's football and men's football especially, that players feel the pressure and they feel like they have to do this and they have to do that. For me, just enjoy it. You know, you go into training, don't overthink it. Just enjoy what you're doing. You've got a small-sided game, have fun with it. You know, it's all about enjoying and having fun whilst trying to achieve things, because if you don't have fun and you're not enjoying it, for me, there's no point in being there, you know, because it comes to a time where actually that pressure will overcome the enjoyment and you won't want to do it. So the more time you keep enjoying it and you keep, you know, it keeps making you happy, the longer you'll be able to do it for. So just make the most out of everything, enjoy it, take it all in, don't take anything for granted.
That's the perfect way to end it, I think. Well, Charlotte, thanks so much for joining me. Best of luck for the rest of the season. Thanks, everyone, for watching another Kings of Anglia podcast special. Get yourself down to Felixstowe if you've got a free moment to support the girls, which could be a very successful season indeed. Thanks again. Bye-bye for now.
Cheers. Thank you.
To modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.